You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
Well, folks, here we are again at the Mountain Top in Full Tilt Studios, in a somber mood. We said we'd come back and do this. I don't think any of us particularly want to be here, but there's a job to be done, and we're going to do it. We have a full complement tonight, which is great to see in the night. The leaving results are out. We have Alan Foley, Frank Craig, Chris McNulty, and Damien Dowds. I don't think there's much point in actually analysing the All-Ireland quarterfinal itself. More analysing how we got there in the state we were in, and how we ended up losing by what was nearly a record margin. Alan, what's your thoughts on the whole thing?
I'm going to take the positive slant because we outscored Mayo, I think 1-3 to a point in the last 10 minutes, so it's something we can probably work on over the winter. No, I think it was just a complete systems failure. The main problem, I suppose, was so many players carrying knocks and injuries, the hunger wasn't there, and I suppose if you want to have a fluid system, you're not going to have it if the parts aren't working, and that's the simplest way I can put it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think, Frank, hunger seems to be a key thing. I mean, I think it just didn't seem to be there this year. I mean, the spirit might have been willing, but the body wasn't in most cases, I think.
I think trying to put your finger on any one thing, you know, it'd be a fruitless task. I think it was the culmination of a load of things. I mean, we talked about the injuries building up over the year, and there was three or four high profile ones, but when you nitpick it, I mean, I think five or six defenders, the likes of Paddy McGrath, the likes of, I suppose, Frank McGlynn, Anthony Thompson, all these guys carrying the likes of groins, hamstrings, and when you haven't got that dynamic, and the way Donegal maybe have set their stall out this last 2 years under Jim, if you can't reach that level, I mean, everything else is like a house of cards, it's going to fall, and that's what happened. And I suppose, I mean, we've got tankings before at Croke Park, I mean, going back to 2009, but, I mean, we weren't that many rungs on the ladder to fall. The scary thing, or the hardest thing to digest of all, was, I suppose, plummeting from the highest fall from grace possible, the top of the mountain as All-Ireland champions, and just the 16-point drubbing was something that was very hard to, I suppose, understand at Croke Park. But when you factor all those variables into it, I think you could see where things went wrong for Jim, and even he was visibly scratching his head on the sideline too, knowing that this thing was caving in around him.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I was there in 2009. I won't forget it in a hurry, but I don't remember feeling as bad ever at a Donegal game as I did, you know, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it goes without saying, of course we remember 2012 so fondly. And the worst thing about it is we know we're a better team than we showed last Sunday, whereas in 2009, that probably was where we were in 2009. It just was such a bad way to leave things.
Yeah, it was a horrible way to leave things, you know, but I suppose the thing, it had been coming. I suppose such a heavy defeat hadn't been coming. You know, I suppose we tried to put the positive slant on it coming into the game, but the reality was we weren't ready for that, a game of that intensity or a game at that level. The worrying thing about it is how far we have come in such a short space of time. Like, to go, as Frank said, from the top of the mountain, like, when Jim came in, he always says that we were ranked 19th. We went from 19 to 1. Now, how far we've fallen, I suppose it's pretty hard to quantify. But I mean, we've fallen behind quite a bit. And
I think there's paranoia there, because people say you don't turn into a good team or a bad team overnight, but we kind of did turn into a good team overnight, so maybe we can just go the other way just as quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, in fairness, in 2011 we were clearly building towards something. I think everyone came into 2012 confident, and I think we were building momentum during 2012. 2013 was weird because we obviously had the league campaign, which finished in a very strange fashion, and then we went into the Tyrone game, which was built up by everyone, including Jim himself, and we didn't set the world alight, but we beat Tyrone by 6 points, which was no mean feat. But Damien, there just didn't seem to be a sense of momentum or confidence this year. I mean, when I look at Mayo, and we'll talk about Mayo in a minute, because I think it's only fair that we acknowledge their awesome performance, but their supporters, their team seems completely confident. This is how we were last year. We never got that sense from Donegal this year.
No, absolutely. Mayo are very reminiscent of Donegal last year. I suppose the Tyrone game on the 26th of May was our All-Ireland final, really. Like, you know, I mean, and all the emphasis and all the talk and all the message that was clearly coming out from the camp from almost as soon as the draw was made was 26th of May, and all the focus was on that, and they kept repeating that. And as we were speaking off air beforehand, as Chris says, come the 27th of May, like, you know, people then were kind of left scratching their heads, like, and it really was the high point of the season. And yes, we didn't perform to the fullest of our ability even in beating Tyrone that day, but with 10 or 15 minutes to go, Donegal kind of held back and just to set out to defend the lead. We didn't hand out the thumping to Tyrone that we might have could have. That Mayo did to us when they got their throat in our necks. Like, they really pushed it down then. Like, so that was the peak. And, you know, I suppose the warning signs was there in the down performance. I certainly didn't, and I know there's others, we didn't fully acknowledge just those warning signs at that time. And obviously we were blindsided then by Monaghan in the in the Ulster final. But it's been a fair old fall. But going back to that 2009 defeat, actually I took it worse in 2009. Like, you know, I, at least in Croke Park on this occasion, you're sitting there and you know, the afterglow of the 2012 All-Ireland win was still there. Like, you know, in 2009 it was just a deep hole, and you know, 92 is a long way back at that stage. Like, so look, they've got a decent break now from the inter-county football for the first time. You know, they're not training in August now for the first time, whatever it is, it's two full seasons. So whenever the club fixtures get read up, and you know, they've got a better break than before, so with any luck they'll come back a good deal hungrier in the new year.
You mentioned 92 there. That's interesting, because I think where I'd be coming from here was I was hopeful that we wouldn't have a scenario like we had in 1993, where we still had the same team. We were all in champions. We still had a very good team, and we fell short in 1993. And there was no shame in falling short in 1993. We were beaten by All-Ireland, the team that went on to be All-Ireland champions, and the year after down. So this year you're kind of thinking it. Hopefully it'll be different. We can at least, you know, stay competitive, and then we're still around next year. We certainly weren't competitive Sunday 2 weeks ago, which was, you know, very, very, very disappointing. But Alan, I suppose, like, you know, we got caught cold in the Ulster final, but I mean, Mayo were a much more serious proposition than Monaghan, I think.
They were indeed, and I suppose in retrospect, when you look at how we line up and against how they line up, it kind of made sense that we got hammered, I think. Like, we have a natural lead defensive half-forward line. Their three half-backs were brilliant. They were breaking into space continually. They put Keith Higgins in the forwards, and he tracked. Usually we had Carl Lacey making runs. We'd have Mark McHugh, Frank Midland, Anthony Thompson. Not any of them four were 100% fit. Frank Midland probably acquitted himself the best, but Higgins could just mark that one runner every time. So I think in a way we played into their hands a little bit. We were sloppy. I think the second goal really just summed up the difference. Like people said last year when Carl Lacey scored the point against Kerry, it showed the difference in Donegal from 11 to 12. I think that goal that Donald Vaughan showed the difference between 12 and 13. They were coming from everywhere. There was no pressure on the ball, and he basically walked into net. So I think at that point the game was basically over. Some people were a bit more confident after that, but that was really curtains for me, and that was after, I don't know, 25 minutes maybe, was it?
Yeah. Frank, do you think we're looking at the All-Ireland champions Sunday 2 weeks ago?
I'm not too sure, and the reason I would reserve judgment would be for the simple fact I think Donegal were sitting ducks the last day, regardless of who was coming away. Maybe a Dublin would have done the same thing. Kerry, I think, still would have beat us. It'll be interesting to see how Tyrone fare, because I remember reflecting on our victory over Tyrone, and once the euphoria died down, I thought it was a great result, but I didn't think it was a great performance.
Sure.
And I think there was a consistent lethargic, I suppose, trend that developed from that game on, talking about being caught cold in the Ulster final. I think we stumbled over down, we stumbled into the Ulster final, and it'll be very interesting to see how Tyrone fare against Mayo, because Tyrone, I don't think they haven't impressed me that much. It was a battle and a gritty performance against Monaghan, but I think Mayo will probably have I think they have a bit to spare over Tyrone, and I'm expecting it to be a Dublin-Mayo final, but I still think Dublin, this All-Ireland title's heading back to Dublin.
We'll see. No, Chris, I was very impressed. I mean, again, just the way people saying Mayo haven't been tested. I mean, I don't think that's an issue, like, because they come out and they play regardless. I mean, there was no sloppiness in their win over Galway. There were no sloppiness against us. I mean, their own supporters were giving out that Colm McFadden scored that goal, that Mayo hit the post. They could have had another two or three goals. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, they were utterly ruthless, and I think it was a mark of their feelings going into the game and during it, that when Colin McFadden scored the goal, James Horne and his assistant were going absolutely apoplectic on the sideline with their defence and how they'd let Colin McFadden score. And they did the game one long before that. You know, what were they, 19 points up or something, 100%. When Colin got the goal? Like, but it just showed you that, I suppose, where their mentality has gone, you know, and the once brittle Mayo that would have capitulated themselves were now the team who were standing on the other team's throat, as it were. And it's a miracle where they come, but funny, I'm still not really convinced that we've seen the champions in waiting. Tyrone now, they've lost Conor Garmley, which is a massive loss. I mean, even against Donegal, the amount of ball Garmley was catching around the middle was phenomenal. And he is one of the leaders in that Tyrone team. Now, I suppose Tyrone haven't set the world alight, but one thing that Mickey Hart and Tyrone have, they know how to win. Mm. They've been there and they've won before, and there's no talk really about Tyrone other than Conor's suspension. You know, all talk is about how impressively Mayo have gone down the All-Ireland champions. For me, Mickey Hart and Tyrone are coming into this game exactly the way they like. And talking to a colleague of mine up in the Ulster Herald last week, the feeling is that they're sort of almost like that Greece team that won Euro 2004. You know, they'll do it ugly, it won't be pretty, but they have that knack of knowing how to win and that knack of winning, and, you know, possibly.
But then
possibly.
They'll be bankrupt within 8 years, so, I mean, you have to wonder, is it worth it? Damien, talk up Mayo.
I was very impressed with Mayo, and if Mayo are able to play, if they're able to put in the type of performance they put in against us in the next two matches, they will be the All-Ireland champions. Now, the question is, you know, they have been gunning for us since the third or fourth Sunday in September last year. Like, you know, when we had the comments from James Horne back in January about, you know, the hurt that they were still feeling, like, you know. So if they are able to turn in that type of performance, assuming that they get over Tyrone and assuming that Dublin get over Kerry, like, you know, I think that they possibly would have enough for them. Look, Mayo, in fairness to them, have never really had problems in All-Ireland quarterfinals or semifinals previously. Like, the big question mark that hangs over Mayo was always the final. And, you know, that's something that they're going to have to deal with themselves. This looks like a more ruthless and a more focused and a more relentless Mayo team than any before, but they've turned in some fabulous performances in Croke Park and the All-Ireland series prior to the final in years past. So, you know, they have that monkey, and, you know, I wouldn't be sad to see them win it, to be honest. Like, you know, even though they're, some of the comments that's coming from them is fairly hateful and so on, like, but at the same time, I wouldn't be sad to see them. I wouldn't be sad to see them. They have the ability to do it. Dublin were very impressive as well, actually, against Cork, like, some great pace and so on, like, but Mayo have this hunger. Whether they have the spite to do it against Tyrone and against Dublin or Kerry, that they're able to summon up for the game against Donegal, yeah, remains to be seen. Because, you know, they were ruthless. I think in the first half they had 2-10 from 15 attempts. Like, yeah, that's just a day when everything they touched turned to gold. Like, you know, and I mean, you know, the chances of them being able to replicate that in the subsequent game, we'll see how that goes for them. Like, you know, they were so intent on getting their revenge in Donegal that they, you know, they took their chance with gusto and with relish. Like, you know, and, you know, you can't really fault them for that either. Like, you know.
But I think we still have to put it into perspective, Donegal's resistance or lack of resistance on the day. I mean, some of the goals, I mean, it was totally uncharacteristic and so different to what Donegal offered last year. I mean, we joked beforehand. I mean, I made the point, it almost looked like Donegal were trying to play offside like a soccer team. They were just venting through the middle, uninterrupted. And I think Mayo, in hindsight, would have probably preferred a much sterner test. I know we talked about James Horne looking aggravated in the sideline because that concession to Colin McFadden, but that's a bit of bravado too. There was bad blood between the sides. They want to go into a semi-final with their tails in the air and looking as mean as they possibly can. But as Damien says, they'll not survey what they've achieved until they get to the final, and that's when the doubt will set in, and that'll be their biggest obstacle if they get over Tyrone.
Surely they'll get a test from Tyrone, because if any team's got a chip on their shoulder now, it's going to be Tyrone, losing Conor Gormley through suspension, missing Penrose, distributing this fact sheet tonight about how they're the most one of the most fouled teams in Ireland and so on. I'd say they'll give them a test. I think Mayo will have too much for them, but I think they'll get this test that everyone is waiting on Mayo to get this year. I think they'll get it against Tyrone.
I think it's okay to say experience and they'll get a test, but I mean, you need to look for the evidence. This is a Donegal team that beat them but stumbled all the way to a quarter final. And, I mean, we're basically hung out to dry. I mean, we were nearly found out against Down, a Down team that were eliminated by Derry in the qualifiers. I mean, we had no faith after Donegal's performance either against Leash in the qualifiers, because, as we said, they just looked like a side totally spent. And that's why I would still have reservations about just how good this Mayo side are. I won't be surprised if they won, Sam, but at the same time, I still think Dublin will ask serious questions.
Okay.
Just about some of the stats here. Sorry, like, I see Mayo had 10 shots in the second half against Donegal. They were pressurised for 3 out of them 10 shots.
No,
like, can you imagine that happened 12 months ago? They won 11 out of 14 kickouts in the first half. Donegal made it into Mayo 45 only 10 times. which is once every 3.5 minutes in the first half, which, as I said, I kind of agree with Frank, they're never going to have it that easy again.
Yeah.
The thing, Rafa Nadal, after he's beaten Wimbledon, was talking about, you know, he got beat by someone that was ranked 140 or 150 whatever. He says, look, I'm at 95 or 96% here today. But he says, this is what happens. He says, when I'm, you know, that even a player that is ranked, whatever, 140, 150 places, when he's playing at full tilt against someone, even one of the greatest players to ever play the game of tennis, that someone that's not at 100%, like, you know, the thing falls apart. And that player, and Donegal, like, we were at 95%. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't at full tilt in the way that we were playing, you know, you're in big trouble. I mean, there's occasions, like, you know, for, I think it was for maybe the second goal, like, the opportunity was there. I mean, there's so many goals I remember. Eamon McGee won the ball. Killian O'Connor, who McGee had a nice little tussle in the very same spot last year, like, you know, he was dispossessed, the ball stripped off him. Like, there's other occasions when other players could have went down, could have, Donegal defenders could have won the ball, just kind of froze, and the Mayo boys were in quick. They were at full tilt, and Donegal were not, 90%, 95%, whatever you want to say. And if you're not able to do it at full tilt as we were last year, and as we were in 2011, you are vulnerable. Like, and they just couldn't lift it. Like, and in fairness, we discounted the down thing. We kind of put that down to a great shooting performance and sure didn't get over today. But, like, from the Monaghan game on, like, you know, I think the writing was writ pretty large on the wall. That Donegal, like Dublin before them, and like Cork before that, like, you know, we're just finding it very, very hard to replicate the form and the retaining of Sam that they were able to display and when they were out to win it for the first time.
So we had a feeling going in we weren't right. I don't think anybody expected the outcome to be how it was. I mean, I kind of thought I would hate to lose by 5 or 6 points. Like, that'd be enough of a hammering. Could we have gone out and basically not to lose or not to get beaten by 10 points?
We were talking about this before the game, because for the first time in 3 years, we were going to a match hoping we would perform. Like, last year, we were going to play Kerry, Cork, Mayo, Tyrone, confident we can win the games. We were only half confident we could get a performance the last day, and we thought maybe with so many injuries would we do it as we did against Dublin 2011. But I think Jim remarked about this afterwards. Jim says it was something they had kind of spoke about, but there was just not enough energy even to do that. I think so. I think you could even see early, like, Mark McHugh hadn't been fit, but he made one good run at the start and he thought, oh, maybe it's not too bad. 2 minutes later, Alan Dillon just breezed past him, and you could see a lot of the players were just dead on their feet very early in the game. So
it's an interesting thing, though, but I can't put my finger on it. What is it for amateur players that just find it so hard the second year to repeat the levels of performance? That doesn't seem to really hit professional sport the same way. I know they can refresh their teams with new players, and there's drafts in American football, and there's new players brought in England. And obviously Kilkenny and hurling were able to retain the All-Ireland on 3-4 occasions, like, you know. But I can't put my finger on it. What is it that means that the team that wins 1 year can't follow up? Is it something to do with the nature of amateurism?
Only one I could come across, Damien, and this was the Champions League. No one has retained the Champions League, I think, since 1990, and maybe because it's quite competitive. And I suppose, like, if Mayo win the All-Ireland this year, it'll be the sixth winner in 6 years, which is pretty uncommon, really. I know the hurling had a slight diplomatic era in the mid-90s when you had the likes of Clare and Wexford winning.
And McCarthy, remember, like, a team like Armagh won one All-Ireland. That my great fear is we are Armagh. You know, we were who were touted as such a great team, but only won the one All-Ireland, but were much more dominant in Ulster, obviously. And they got the three in a row in Ulster, which we've missed out on. Tyrone dipped in and out of the All-Ireland. Kerry, obviously, were the last team to retain it. I think it's interesting that Dara O'Shea had a good piece today in the paper about how the nature of football has changed now. It's not enough to be talented. You also have to work exceptionally hard. So there is no turning up for games and breezing through a provincial championship, even the back door anymore, because you're playing against such well prepared teams. But that's my own theory. I honestly don't know. One stat that stood out to me before the game even threw in was, of the teams that started the All Ireland final, Mayo had 9 players that started. We ended up, I think, with 13 with the late changes. Do we need more competition for places on that team? Because there is, outside of 2 positions on the half-forward line, there is no real competition for places on that team.
That was something that was very evident with us even during the National League. I don't think we played a National League game with anything less than 11 or maybe even 12 of our All-Ireland winning team. And that was only because of necessity, because guys were missing at various junctures. You know, Carroll obviously missed all of the National League and stuff, but it was very evident even last week. You know, Carroll and Mark McHugh weren't fit. They well, they weren't fit enough for what they were being asked to do, but yet Jim just had to play them because
there was other players even less fit, like not, probably a bit more fit, but I think Rory Kavanagh, Neil Gallagher weren't up to the level of fitness.
Anthony Thompson,
a lot of them, yeah.
I mean, you talk about strength and depth. I mean, if we need players, you go to the source. Where do you look for these players? Club football. Club football's hemorrhaging. So, I mean, it's a vicious cycle. And then just to your point in relation to retaining an All-Ireland trophy, I mean, I think you still need to distinguish between professional and amateurism. I know we like to think the lines are blurred now, but there definitely is a big change. I mean, traditionally, you celebrate an All-Ireland title.
Yeah.
There's the opportunities for people that are out of work at the minute, I mean, to make a bit of money, to get free cars to drive around for the year, whatever's all there. And they should embrace
it. And they're expected to do it.
And like, you wouldn't hold it against
them. No All-Ireland champion has ever said, hey, listen, here's the trophy. Good luck.
Yeah,
you know there's been a tour of the county. Yeah.
If you're playing for Manchester United, there's competition coming in every year. There's a paycheck at the end of the week. I mean, don't fool anybody. That's huge motivation for everybody when you have that there in front of you as a carrot. And I mean, I think Donegal, it's easy to point to the variables. We were stretched this year as a panel. We had a lot of injuries. And I think it'd be more comfortable and easier to sleep at night to go home and put it down to that. I mean, the slate's wiped clean now. And I think something like that there and the silver lining of it all, it might just cleanse the whole thing. And I think we will all go back to basics. And hopefully with a good club championship now, I mean, I would like to see this given a wee bit of an injection. It'd be nice to see the eight captains meet up in Jackson's this week and have a relaunch of the club championship, generate a bit of interest in it again, because there's a lot of bad blood, as we talked about, I mean, this week in regards to CCC and how that was handled or not handled. I mean, give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think personally they handled it too well, but I think the club championship's on life support at the minute. We could give it a good jolt of maybe all bang heads and hopefully rejuvenate it, because there is huge interest out there. We talked about it earlier. It's the bedrock of anything and towards Gaelic football. And if we want to improve the panel of players that's available to Jim McGuinness, I mean, that's where he's going to have to go looking for.
But that said, I suppose, and I certainly wouldn't argue with that, and it's actually a very good point, you know, but maybe relaunching it when interest in Gaelic football in the county is at probably an all-time high, and a lot of people that are on this bandwagon, as it was, probably aren't even aware of club championships and stuff, or maybe haven't made themselves aware. But the point, I suppose, about players, we have a lot of players in the squad who haven't been even given a run, let alone tested. You know, we've got a squad of 31 players. How many of those were used at any great length? You know, you look at the likes of Gary McFadden, who 2 years ago was the player of the Donegal Club Championship, has played very minimal game time, and many, many more like him. There's probably a few players out there that we think should get a run, and it's probably something to look at for next year's National League, and maybe the McKenna Cup should be taken a wee bit more seriously as well. And I certainly wouldn't suggest that we play our All-Ireland winning team in it, but maybe even the actual under-21A team, rather than, you know, I mean, it was pretty much a cobbled together team we played this year. And
I think we had 24 out of the 31 panellists got game time, but I think maybe three of them got less than 15 minutes, I think is how it worked out.
Yes, I think there were three players, if you add up their total number of game time, I think it comes to 14 minutes. And
it was something like Marty Boyle's appearance plus two others against Mayo. Yeah.
Like, I'm not suggesting that we need changes on the starting 15 next year at all, or even on the bench. But it just seems to me like there's no sense there's competition, Damien. Like, you don't expect, you expect to see the same team. If everyone's fit, you expect to see the same team announced, bar maybe one change. As I say, one of the half-forward positions has tended to be variable. This year it was more like two maybe, but I mean, in general, like from the all of the backs, midfield, full forward line,
It's often a criticism that's made, you know, of a successful team. Like, you know, Tyrone would have suffered with it as well, but, you know, the likes of Doher and McGuigan and so on, staying on too long and so on. Like, you know, McGuinness got an awful lot out and has got an awful lot out of these players. Like, you know, some of them who've been with him since the under-21 campaign in 2010. And I suppose it's only natural there'll be a degree of loyalty there as well. But look, Frank and Chris are right. There's going to have to be, I suppose, more opportunity for some of the, we can call them fringe players, players that are outside of the panel at the moment, players that are in the panel and not getting much game time. There's going to have to be an opportunity for them to come through, because we were just found out this year to have two thin a team, like 17, 18 normal regular players that are contesting for those starting places isn't adequate. Like, you know, and you're going to have to take a chance, you know, and you use the McKenna Cup for that. We're in Division 2 of the league, it's a wee bit easier, but I think, you know, while this year, you know, we could say that the league wasn't important, I think it is important next year that Donegal Donegal need to be winning promotion from Division 2 next year as well. They need to be contesting and contending for promotion from Division 2, because you don't want to be staying in Division 2 for too long. Like.
Or going to Division 3.
Or going to Division 3.
But I think just on the point Damien was making earlier on about the sort of professionalism and amateurism and retaining Sam and all that, the only team that has retained Sam since 1990 was Kerry, and they retained it the following year with a different managerial setup. So I suppose the hunger and stuff of the players, they were out to prove, you know, prove their point to the new guy.
Yeah, you
know, like the last.
So you're suggesting then that Jim should go?
Not at all. But I think we do need change in terms of the squad and stuff. Like it does probably need a bit of an injection, and you know, without getting rid of some of his backroom team, maybe an addition of a new voice to the dressing room mightn't be a bad starting point for Jim to look at.
I suppose the silver lining of that whole fiasco last week was, apparently it was a request from the senior football team management to bring the championship forward, so that you would think would hint that Jim and Rory are preparing to stay on, or at least Jim is in a way. I mean, so at least after all, when the dust is eventually settled, hopefully that'll transpire to be the truth, and that's the way we'll see it, because I would be in no doubt that Jim McGuinness is still the man to be in. It's ludicrous to suggest otherwise. There was some atrocious stuff printed in national media last week, and I thought it was grossly unfair, but at the same time, I think Jim will probably, if he does decide to stay, will relish getting back down to work. As we said, it's almost been a cleansing process. If we had to limp out against Mayo and maybe just get beat by 5 or 6 points, I think this has brought it home now. We probably do need to make some changes and probably some drastic changes. No better or capable man than Jim McGuinness. I mean, what he achieved with this side last year and that panel of players. I know we've talked about how inept they were on the day against Mayo, but it was a culmination of a lot of things. They were a spent force, and they deserve great credit. We said a threadbare squad of 17 players, maybe in the end up that, you know, probably deserved to be taken out in their shield. But, I mean, I just felt sorry for them on the day, the way that they probably were hammered into the ground against a motivated Mayo team that maybe had a gripe, you know, from the previous year.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to sit there and watch it, but it I'm was. Sure it was much harder to be out there and having to live it. Oh. You know, you're talking about All-Stars footballers a year. I'm sure none of them. And my great hope is that nobody will want to leave it like that. That this will be the motivation to come back and put it right, I guess. You know, and I'm not suggesting it was wrong. I mean, you know, as I say, we're All Ireland champions, double Ulster champions. If we won nothing else for the next 10 years, that would still be a wonderful achievement. But I think we all just hope that there's more to come.
That's why retaining Jim is probably so important, because I think if Jim leaves, there's 3 or 4 players that probably the easier thing will be to walk away. So it's probably vitally important that we retain Jim's services.
The other thing too to bear in mind is, like, you know, Donegal have got to, we've got to the All-Ireland quarterfinals now in 9. We missed out in 10, obviously, 11, 12 and 13. I mean, that's where you want to be getting. Donegal need to be aiming to be getting to the All-Ireland quarterfinals every year, and then some years you'll be able to push on to the All-Ireland semi-final and final. Other years you won't, like, but getting to the last 8, you know, 5 years out of every 6 is really what Donegal should be aiming towards, because once you're getting to the last 8 with that regularity, you will push on to semi-finals and finals from there, like. And we have the capability of doing that as well.
That's equilibrium, David.
Yeah.
We talked about this before, like, and I totally agree with that. If we made the August Bank Holiday every single year, I would be content with the season. And as you said there, like, I find it hard to criticise the players. Like, it's easy for people to sit in seats saying the lads don't care, and that's like, these lads get up at 5:30 in the morning in the depth of winter, so, like, I really wouldn't go to town too much on them over what happened this year.
No, not at all. I mean, I want to see the management team back. I want to see every single one of the players back. And if they are the best 15 to start next year, then that's, so be it. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. You know, I think some competition, or the sense of competition, would be good. I think a few new faces might be good, but we don't know. I mean, look, as I say, these guys were champions last year. But just to go back on this, Damien, I want to get to the quarterfinals too. But if I get to the quarterfinal, I want to be competitive in the quarterfinal. Like, because, you know, in 2009 and other years, like, we were beaten in Ulster, and then we got some very soft draws in qualifiers and ended up in an All-Ireland quarterfinal where we had no right to be, like, almost, and we suffered for it then.
Well, quite good wins over Derry and Galway that year, like, you know, who at the start of that year would have been rated higher than us. So look, I don't see the last 8 as being the end of the road for Donegal, like, you know, that one, but when you're getting there,
yeah,
you're giving yourself the opportunity to push on into that All Ireland semi final, and that's something that this squad of players is capable of doing. They've done it this year with all the extenuating circumstances that we've discussed. Like, you know, with the slate wiped clean, with a proper break now, probably for the first time in a number of years. and you know, a bit of a, they'll get a bit of a goofer hopefully again now in the new year again, like, you know, that they can push on, get to there, and you know, the players themselves will be hurting terribly badly. That, you know, a lot of proud men were there, like, you know, a lot of players last year winning All-Stars, All-Star nominations. We won't get a nomination this year at all, like, you know. So they'll be keen as well to put it right. I'd be fairly confident of that, and you know, I think the majority of the players hopefully will. The majority of the players will probably stick around. There might be one or two from that might move on, but I think the majority of the players will stick there. And somehow space then has got to be found though for utilising the fringe players or players that are currently outside of the panel in the spring of next year, like, you know, just to create that, like Mayo have done, like Dublin, like other teams have done, like, just to see if we can unearth a few others. Like, okay, someone mightn't necessarily stand out in the club championship, but that's not necessarily what you're looking at. Like, not every player that's in that Donegal team is a standout player at club level. You know, some of them kind of do the same type of jobs for their club that they do for the county, and it's kind of unglamorous jobs and so on. Like, so, you know, there is talent there. It's a matter of identifying it, bringing it in, and kind of helping create and see. You know, some players that will come in will be able to raise themselves up to the standard of the inter-county game better than others. Like, you know, it's a matter of, you know, the brain's trust that we have, identifying those players, bringing them in, and giving them the opportunities to grow into it. Yeah. If you take a look, I mean, it's quite a young team, and the likes of Ryan McHugh's come in this year, Paddy McBrady, you know, these are boys that are still under 20. They weren't eligible to play adult football 3 or 4 years ago, like, you know, and there's a lot of talk about these are the only, like, the boys in the squad today are the only footballers that we have in the county. It's nonsense. You know, you can't preserve the team in Aspic and think that these boys are going to play till they're 50. So there's obviously, you know, there's always going to be turnover, like, and we just need to be able to manage that and bring in new players that are able to push on, like, you know. And as I said, it's not necessarily, you know, the boy that's hitting 3-4 in some championship match that's going to be it, but there will be players that would be able to perform at the elite inter-county level which Donegal operates. It's a matter of bringing them in, getting them into the system, and bring them up to the standard. Like,
it's not a simple question either of Jim inviting them. We all can pinpoint players, but it's a huge commitment. You know, we don't know behind closed doors what players have been asked and what players have said no, so I suppose you have to appreciate that aspect of it too.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we're really just playing devil's advocate here to a certain extent. Like, we're teasing points out, like, we don't, you know, some of us know more than others probably, but we're just, I suppose, trying to throw around ideas. I mean, I've no doubt that, look, if Jim McGuinness does come back, he'll come back with a plan, and he won't be coming back to go out on the August bank holiday and lose by 16 points again. I'm pretty damn sure of that. Like, well, I'm hoping for the best on, I guess, the 2nd of September anyway, and I hope also that it's a positive outcome, not just that, yeah, he's staying, but that the county board make a strong statement and he comes out and says he's, you know, he's happy to stay and, you know, he's happy with the support he's getting and all the rest.
Aye, I think there's maybe 3 or 4 players that maybe are considering the future now. I think if one of them goes, 3 or 4 might go, if you know what I mean, like a bit of a domino effect. But I think what Jim could do is, you know, like he did in 2010 in Downings that day, 2011 early season, if he gets that group together again, and even some of the older lads says, look lads, with this one really good year again, I think he might be able to keep the whole group together, because they are a pretty firm group and they have been for the last 3 years, so hopefully that will be the case, and with the other few additions, as Damien said there.
I think, well, I'm not quite sure when it takes place, but I'm led to believe that sometime in advance of September the 2nd that he plans to have individual talks with all of his squad. So I suppose that's Jim maybe trying to garner the thoughts of, or the willingness of his players to continue. I suppose for Jim himself, Jim certainly wouldn't want a couple of Sundays ago to be the way he ends, but I suppose he's got some questions himself as to, you know, whether he can commit in his own personal circumstances and stuff. But I would say that in his heart of hearts that Jim McGuinness would want to go and give it another rattle. He's got a year left on his agreement or contract, call it what you will, but I'm wondering, you know, it to me now seems more than a 1 year job. And, you know, if I would suggest that maybe the county board tease it out with the possibility of getting an agreement for Jim McGuinness to get 2, possibly more years. But I certainly agree that, you know, we're not looking 12 months down the line of having the same willy wonty scenario with Jim. If you could maybe see that Jim McGuinness is going to give us 2 more years, then all of a sudden then his players are maybe that wee bit more inclined to give it maybe 1 more from their perspective. But certainly it might be a bit easier for them to go back if they see that Jim has a bit of longevity again in a couple of years down the line.
I suppose I talked to Damien Dever last week, who would have been, I suppose, in the infancy of Jim's reign. He would have been part of the backroom team. And he made the point that if Jim did go, I mean, who is there qualified to come in and take it back up to the level that Jim had it? Because we have to remember the qualifications Jim has as well as being such an astute football guy. I mean, I don't think there is anybody out there at this point. And that's no disrespect to some of the great football men that are in this county, but Jim's just taken it to such a different level that it'll be so hard to replicate that again.
There's no one in the country, I think, to remind the county.
No, fully. Like, even actually, you talk of going to outside men, and, you know, you look at great football men and great football managers that are out of work and out of jobs. I mean, they're not in the same league as them. And, you know, within the county, we do have a lot of capable men. But even to follow a guy like Jim and to follow that sort of what he has brought, I mean, you know, you just wouldn't find the guy to do it.
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it.
And you want more from Jim McGuinness. It's not in terms of All-Irelands or Ulster titles, maybe, but you would like to see a new team developed at some point, or the nucleus of a new team developed at some point. You wouldn't just like, even next year, no matter what happens, whether it's an Ulster title, whether it's an All-Ireland, or whether, you know, we go out gracefully at the quarter-final stage, you wouldn't like to see Jim McGuinness just walking away and going, okay, that's my 4 years done, and handing over basically a team who, like, if 3-4 don't go this year, then maybe half of them will go next year, and we're left in a serious vacuum, I would say.
And I suppose that's kind of looking back at 2009, it's probably wrong to compare them given what has happened since, but, you know, we were on the back of a hammering in 2009, but when Jim came in then in mid-2010, we had players who had plenty of mileage left in them, plenty to give, but now you're looking, a lot of these guys are in and around that 30 mark, and, you know, how much mileage are left on those weary legs that have been on the go for the best part of the last decade? And I suppose that's the challenge for Jim now, is to sort of rebuild that particular jigsaw and get it back on the road again, you know.
The easiest thing for the manager last year, after all he'd achieved in such a short period of time, would have been to ride off into the sunset over to Glasgow Celtic and be remembered as the revolutionary of Gaelic football. But he stayed about, you know, loyal. And I think, you know, that might be something that the players might appreciate this year. When they needed him to stay on last year, he bent for them. And hopefully the players will do the same for him this year when they do meet up next month.
Yeah, well, he's certainly said that Donegal is his dream job, and that, you know, he loves Donegal. So I hope he stays true to that. Now, obviously, I know, you know, when you've young children and when you've a job overseas and so on, that it becomes harder and harder to do it. But I really hope that he finds a way to manage. But I also hope, Damien, he finds a way to manage the team maybe a wee bit better next year, in terms of bringing players in at the right time in the National League and so on, and giving players maybe a bit of time off from, at least next year there'll be no tours with Sam and so on, so that's a big thing. We'll be back training in November this year probably, versus say January, whatever we're allowed to train in November, whatever we do or not is another matter. But let's maybe manage players differently and rotate a bit better during the league and give players a bit of time off.
I think they'll debrief their season, and I think they'll be fairly ruthless, and, you know, on how Jim and Rory do that, like, and they'll take a look at what they did and what they might do differently, like, and it will have to be done as well with a view to two things, two objectives anyway. Is one is if not getting promotion, at least putting yourself into the promotion hunt come that last round or two of games in Division 2, and also identifying and developing the new players. Like, I mean, the likes of Ross Werdy and Ryan McHugh this year were really the only couple of players that came in that were new to the squad. I'd like to see more of the likes of Daniel McLaughlin, those lads, like, you know, that haven't really, you know, Daniel was suffering from injury, but, you know, they haven't really had the opportunity to make a bit of a stamp. Like, you've got to be allowed to make mistakes as well, like, you know, when you're playing. And look, if you're playing in the All-Ireland champion team and every team is queuing up to have a whack at you, like, it isn't an easy place. It's quite an unforgiving environment, as Division 1 is. Division 2 is going to be a wee bit more forgiving in that respect, and, you know, everyone's going to be gunning for a different All-Ireland champion team next year, like, you know. So it will give Donegal a chance maybe to develop and to give opportunities to players and allow them to make mistakes. And the public needs to be patient about that as well, like, because, you know, they have to be allowed to grow into the game as well, like, you know, and you can't judge them on, you know, they get one good performance here and then to fall by two bad performances to scare them. Like, that's not how it works. Like, you know, the wider public has to be willing to allow experimentation as well. And we're all hopeful that Jim McGuinness would stay on, because he is absolutely the man to deliver it, like, and to guide it, to bring that team through. And I think while there is a couple of boys up and around the 30 mark, you know, a lot of the team are still 23, 24 and younger. Like, you know, the core of the team, in contrast probably to the 92 team, it was older in 93 and okay, they were hampered by injury as well, but I think the age profile of that team was a good bit older probably than the age profile of this team. Like, so there is a good core still there, who have tasted the great success, like, and you know that experience will carry with them. There's more to come from a lot of those players that are in their early to mid 20s, I think.
I hope so. Yeah, I just worry about not even the age thing, but just the mileage thing. Like, there's guys there probably hitting their late 20s, not 30 yet, like, but they have an awful lot of game time under them for Donegal, mm-hmm. and that could be being to tell at this stage. But I share your optimism, Damien, to a certain extent. Okay, where do we go from here? I think we finished every other pod during the year with a prediction on a result. What's your gut telling you about whether Jim is around next year, Alan, or not?
I think he's going to stay.
I'll be optimistic as well.
Good man, Frank.
He'll stay.
Frank thought we were a big mail.
So that was a rogue text that was sent in here. Didn't come from my phone anyway.
Chris? I had been positive about the Ulster final and positive about the Mayo game, and I was wrong. Unfortunately, with Jim's scenario, and just actually before I left the office there, I was reading a piece in your paper, Damon, by Donald Campbell last week. He was sort of weighing up the pros and cons. He had like five reasons Jim will stay and five why he'll go. For me, just it's the whole personal thing that, you know, he's got three kids under six. His wife is expecting twins. He's got a job in Glasgow. Can he give 100%? Because let's remember, Jim McGuinness is a guy who's 100% or nothing. For me, there'd be a doubt there. Now, there is a hope that Jim McGuinness, and Frank, I think it was alluded to it earlier, Donegal is what makes Jim McGuinness tick. And even last year when the whole Celtic thing came up, Donegal was still number one on Jim McGuinness's priority list. So there's a hope there that he will stay, but I'm just not convinced.
Okay. Damien, before you tell me briefly about the minor final tonight.
The Northern Board minor final tonight. St Eunan's handed out a bit of a thumping to Buncrana.
What a surprise.
A highly fancied Buncrana team, it has to be said. I was speaking to some of the St Eunan's management today now, and they weren't overconfident, but 4-18 to 1-8 they won, so a very comprehensive win. For them, Rory Carrot, full forward, hit a couple of goals in the first 10 minutes, the second half. Those two goals killed off Buncrana. They trailed Buncrana, won 8-5 points at half time. And those couple of goals from Rory Carrot, who was very influential in setting up scores in the first half, too, set them through there. Conor McAniff chipped in with 2-5. Carrot, he got 2-1. David Turrell, 3 points. Michael Miller, a couple of points. Jordan McBride was very good at centre-half back. He got forward for a point, but him and Conor Morrison did a double marking job on Buncrana's danger man, Darrow O'Connor. And while he ended up with 3 points to his name, O'Connor's influence in the game was fairly limited. I think Joseph McGrory was probably the Buncrana's best player, maybe John Campbell to a degree as well. Like, but they flapped tonight, to be honest. They're a wee bit better than they showed. But both teams now go through into the county semi-finals. Unions will play Four Masters, who lost the Southern final, and Buncrana will play Eru, who are the Southern champions. Those games are on next Wednesday night with the county final on the 1st of September. Like, and you know, there's a good bit of decent talent there, and I know that Chris was speaking about it earlier, but the county under 16s have won the Buncrana Cup, and that's 2 years running now. So next year's county minor team will be drawn for the first time in a very long time from back to back winning Buncrana Cup teams, like Buncrana Cup squad. So maybe at last we'll see, but there might be a bit of traction coming to underage, because in fairness, since 2006, a team with Murphy, McLoon and Declan Wise and a few others, Donegal minor football has been appalling, really. Like, you know, I think we've had maybe two championship wins in that whole time. Like, and you know, that's one of the foundations that's going to have to be better. It's going to have to be fixed if we're to be competitive at senior level, because I think it was Kieran Cunning was saying on Twitter there last week that this was the first. Last year, Donegal won the All-Ireland, the first team since 1980 to win with no minor or under 21 or All-Ireland club medalists in their squad. So it kind of did come from nowhere. You know, the foundations on which the county teams are built, underage football is patchy and haphazard in very many respects. Like 4-18 to 1-8 in a regional final isn't too good, to be honest. Like, you know, so, you know, you were talking about Jim McGuinness. What I like to see is that instead of Celtic employing Jim McGuinness, and I follow Celtic and I'm quite happy to see him there, instead of Celtic employing Jim McGuinness to do that, it'd be great if Donegal could somehow figure out a way of doing what they did in Tipperary, where your man John Evans was brought in to completely oversee and restructure how underage football in the county was won. I know they got beat at minor level in the All-Ireland quarterfinal last weekend, Tipperary, but they really have come from absolutely nowhere at underage level to be very competitive at under 18, under 21. It hasn't fed into their senior team yet, but inevitably in due course it will. That's where Donegal really need to double down on. So while there needs to be a focus on the senior team, we need to figure out what it is that we're doing at underage level, why it is that we're performing so appallingly badly in minor championship, and address that. And that's probably a bigger thing than we've got time for at this stage of the podcast, but that's what really needs to be sorted, so that the foundations aren't built on sand, like, you know, for the senior team going forward, like, you know.
But I think very promisingly, though, our under 17s are out next weekend in the Jim McGuigan final, which is basically the Ulster championship under 17, which is a grade that we've lost players at. You know, we've had a very, very good record in the Buncrana Cup at under 16s, but just looking today, like, the transition of players who have won the Buncrana Cup ultimately, maybe in 6-7 years later, to senior team, it's minimal. You know, even from the good winning teams that we've had, we've got more than, I think, 4 players from any one team. So we've got to ask that question, why? What are we doing wrong, maybe, as opposed to what we're doing? What are we not doing? And try and address that to get some sort of conveyor belt coming through.
Yeah, how come that is, and Chris is right, that Donegal have put a lot of focus always in the Buncrana Cup, that under 16 Ulster Championship competition. It's based over, I think there's 3 weekends of blitzes, including the finals weekend. Like, and Donegal performed well, and yet at minor level, we're at by the likes of the Tyrones and
do
so on.
Do we take
on
it more, like, way more seriously than
I don't think it's we take it seriously. The problem is the transition from 16 to 18, the one glaring omission that we have compared to other counties is pretty much absence of quality schools football other than St Union's College. Like, they're the only, like, and the Inishowen combined team have entered the McLaren Cup, which is the Division 2 competition for Ulster Colleges under 18 and a half next year. And there is talk about it happening in the South. That's what's missing. And, you know, there's one thing that needs to be done, like, you know, but look, the Northern Board at the moment are trying to do a survey of clubs in the Northern area. There's 24 clubs, I think, or 23 clubs over in the Northern area. And a survey was sent out asking clubs would they like to participate in amalgamated teams for the Ulster Colleges. And I was speaking to the secretary, not a single response to it, like, you know.
Yeah, but it's holiday time.
In fairness. There's always some reason not to address the shortcomings of underage football in the county, like, you know. And you know, that's, it would be great if you know, that the John Evans role that he fulfilled so well in Tipperary could be created in Donegal.
We should
and
have right this in about 2010, though. I remember
that's exactly it, and that's all the talk. We missed out in 1993, and we didn't build on the legacy of 93, like, you know. And while the focus is rightly on your senior inter-county team, they are your shop window team. Like, now is the time that Donegal double down and get their underage thing right. We've got an excellent manager next year. Declan Boner's taking that minor team next year. Like, but that minor championship is a very unforgiving championship. Like, one day and you're out. Like, you know, I mean, Donegal got beat by Tyrone with a overwhelming amount of possession and terrible shooting display, like, you know, and Tyrone are sitting now in the All-Ireland semi-final, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we lost to Monaghan in the Ulster League final. So I think our minors were,
but we're not,
you know, not that.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. But we're just not quite delivering. Sure. Like, two.
I think
we've
a lot of naturally gifted footballers in Donegal, and you see that at under 16 level, where maybe the level of tactics and maybe strategy doesn't come into play. We've seen it with a senior group of footballers, a very talented group of footballers who, I think, you always hear the likes of Brenton Devaney, Adrian Sweeney saying when they went out against their Armaghs and Tyrones, they always thought they were as good as them one on one, but this they had a wee bit of structure and organisation. And we've seen how quickly Jim was fit to turn around as seniors with a wee bit of discipline and a wee bit of forward thinking. And I hope that gap could be bridged between 16 and 18, because I think when the likes of the Tyrones and Armaghs hit minor level, a lot of strategy and a lot of other things come into play that maybe we've taken our eye off the ball. But as Damien says, Declan Boner's in there this year, and out of huge confidence in Declan as a football man, and hopefully he can change the fortunes at their side. But it's definitely, I think, in terms of structure and schools, I would echo them sentiments as well.
I think there's continuity is an issue as well. You know, there's a lot of changes and there's no real set pattern. Like, I know this is a very far-fetched example, but like an Ajax or Barcelona basically have a blueprint. And if we had had, say, someone like Jim coming in there for that position in, say, 2010 when he was at the under-21s, you could develop kind of a blueprint on how Donegal would approach things and how the conveyor belt would work.
That's it. I mean, we're building a centre for excellence, like, but a centre for excellence is only a pitch to train at. Like, you know, I mean, the wider picture has to be the overall development, specifically what McGuinness is doing at Celtic as well. He's there to try and enhance the young players, not from the point of view, like, to trying to develop them, to try and get them to think about wider things, you know, to try and improve their overall and all around approach to the game, like, you know, and look, we need to improve rapidly in that area. Like, otherwise what happened in 2012, like what happened in 1992, is going to be this once in a blue moon thing. The county has a population of 160,000 people. We should be competitive all the time. I mean, any year we don't get to the last eight is underperformance, really. Like, you know, we have the ability to get there. We have the population to do it. And we just need to be able to, we need to be able to execute that on an ongoing basis.
But the hurling is killing football in Donegal. I mean, this Mickey Rackard stuff, I mean, come on.
That's the minor B.
Minor B. Yeah. They're playing this weekend as well against Meath in the All-Ireland semi-final, like, you know. So, look, there's a lot of competition for those young players, you know. There's a lot of different sports that they're interested in. Like,
I think something that, I mean, you touched on it, was the centre of excellence and stuff, and I think facilities is a massive problem, a massive issue. You know, when you've got inter-county managers at minor under 21 level ringing clubs and begging them to use facilities, begging them, they're on their knees begging, and, you know, December, January, February and stuff, trying to get pitches to train on, it makes that centre of excellence so, so important. I mean, unfortunately, it resembles something of a ghost estate at the minute. You know, there's no physical structure there, and no, Kieran Kelly and Club Tyrconnell are trying their best to raise the funds, and hopefully they do that, because to start developing your young teams, you need a base. You know, you've got county teams and they're going everywhere from Mallon to Glencolumbkill to Gweedore to Lifford. They don't know where they're going from one week to the next, so I suppose if we had a bit of continuity with that, it might be.
They need floodlights to convoy immediately. And the expense of putting those on is serious, like, but, you know, for whatever it is, 8-9 months of the year, you can't train there.
I think
in the evenings,
plans
like
for October,
you know,
though, aren't they?
That's
the levy. Well, look, I mean, if it was going to be that, like, you know, but they need number set of floodlights. I don't know if any of you have been down to the one in Tyrone, like, you know, I went down there, it was open on the way back. What a centre they have there. Like,
the first night was there, it was very impressive.
Yeah, we didn't get a tour of it, but we
Sheldon and Cookstown.
The Mid Ulster Sports Arena as well.
Unbelievable facility. Yeah, it's a 4G pitch, which costs something like £650,000.
Full size 4G pitches, like, you know, there's not a single one in this county, is there?
No.
Well, we don't even have good 3G coverage up here. Let's
You look actually at Owen Beg and Derry, which was built on the back of their one in 1993, is now an inter-county standard ground. Their training pitch is an inter-county standard ground that capable of hosting games.
Their club championship games going to be played there. They hold a whole host of blitzes as well at underage level, like, you know. So, look, the convoy thing will, in due course, be good, but, you know, the facilities isn't what does it alone. Like, it's proper structures, proper approach, and a joined up kind of thinking.
Proper that, people, you know, in terms in of charge, proper coaches and, you know, educated coaches and stuff, and going even beyond coaches, you know, your medical stuff.
Okay, well, I mean, Jim McGuinness's son should be ready to start coaching in 10, 15 years' time. So, okay, by the time he's ready to start coaching, they'll have floodlights and convoy and changing rooms, and it'll be, you know, he'll be able to walk into a world-class facility. Mm-hmm. Okay, on that positive note, we'll leave it for this evening. If you hear from us again in early September, it won't be good news. We might be back to preview some of the county championship games if they do go ahead when they're meant to go ahead. And we'll certainly try and come back and preview the later stages of the county championship at some stage anyway. Thanks again to our producer, Michael Moore, and the guys at Full Tilt. Talk to you again soon.
Hey, all for Sam.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.